Today, we're going to get into some real unveiling. And you know, one thing, some things in life cannot be explained. Some things cannot have words to except the Bible. The Bible is the only thing that has word. If you can't figure out what's behind the wording, at least we've got the words. And the Bible does express things that you can't put into words in the natural. You can't put into words what caused Lucifer to fall. The only thing that you can put into words is what the Bible tells us that he did. He fell. Now, we can't explain why he fell, but we can explain, when we have these mysteries, we can explain the Word of God. Now, we can't explain how that happened, but we can explain what the Word of God says about something. You know, my daughter and I, we were talking about this predestination, foreknowledge and everything, and I gave her one of my books, and she'd been reading it, and she started getting it. But she was asking questions that seemingly has no answer if you look at it on the face value of it. So what you have to do is go back to the Word of God and express the Word of God only. That's the only thing you can stand on, you know, is what the Word says. But it's amazing how Christians will say, well, I know that's what the Word says, but... Well, when you don't have an answer but the Word of God, just stick with the Word. Amen. If you don't have an answer, just stick with the Word saying. Amen? And so, in that, you'll find an answer. I found an answer for everything that I needed to know through the Word of God, even though some things I can't explain. I can't explain to you whatever possessed Satan to take the nosedive, you know. And I can't explain the fact that God created him and named him Lucifer. Lucifer meaning light bearer or light bringer, one who brings light. Well, the thing that he is now is the old serpent. He's the one that brings darkness now, death. He stepped into the dark side. You know. And I can't explain to you why in relation to God's foreknowledge. You know, I can't explain that. You know, the all-knowingness of God. Why would he create somebody that would create the problems that we've got? I understand now. I can answer that. But the only way that I can find an answer to that question is I've got to go back to the Word of God and says, this is what the Word says. That's all I know. This is what the Word says. Well, I thank God that the mentors that God gave me were sticklers for the Word of God. We're finding it more and more difficult to administrate church in this day and age because more and more believers want to get away from the responsibility of the Word and make their own nest with God. And you just can't do that. You have to stick to the Word of God. And so what we do is we lose people because we can't politicize them like a lot of churches will do, because we know the Word of God. We know the responsibility of a position that you take within the framework or structure of a church. But nowadays we've got, you know, we got Texaco on one corner, Chevron on another, we got Shell on one, and Arc Podunk Arco on the other for poverty minded people, you know. And so as a result of this, if you don't like one grade of gas, go to another station. Get another grade. See? And that's sad because it's getting more and more difficult to discipline or to bring up people in the way that they should go so that they would not depart from the way of the Lord. There are more believers, the Lord shared with me, there are more believers today living in the permissive will of God than the perfect will of God. And so there's this spirit of the Satan that is at work within the earth. And he sent that principality into the earth so that he could do one thing. So that he could corrupt that inward anointing that has been given to each and every believer's life. There's where 1 John is so powerful when you understand the power of that book. John covers the fact that there's an inward anointing in our life that is so dependent upon the fact that we stick with the foundation of the commandments of God's Word. And yet a lot of believers want to move away from that. When you're dealing with the devil, I got news for you. You're dealing with an insane being. He's nuts. And the only way that you follow an insane person is you got to pick up the same traits he's got. And follow that guy. You got to be as whacked as he is to make anything sound any good, because he appears as an angel of light. Satan doesn't walk down the road in a red suit with horns on his head and a black cape and a pitchfork. He doesn't walk down the road that way, people. He walked down the road as an angel of light. He started that way in Genesis, and he's continuing the same process. He's no wonder his ministers are even transformed into an angel of light, one who represents the kingdom of God. And yet they're totally in his pocket, hip pocket. Today, I'm going to share with you strictly from the Word of God, and I hope that we all grasp it. But I'm going to give a finality of what I'm saying about this. And there was a minister on television this morning preaching very clearly that Katrina was sent by God. It was a judgment of God on mankind. That minister has what you call a ministry of excellence of words, but no brains when it comes to understanding the redemptive work of Christ. And yet you'd think they would have that understanding. And I got news for you. The devil, as far as I'm concerned, was not pre-designed to take a nosedive according to what I read in my Bible. It says, behold. That Hebrew word means an element of surprise. Was God caught off guard? No, I don't think so. But behold, he has fallen. Now that's hard to understand with your natural mind. Didn't God know? You know something? The way we think that God knows everything so much, then why did Jesus come? Why did he walk planet Earth? Why was he tempted like we are and yet found without no personal sin in his own life and then returned to the Father and have our redemptive rights sealed in him? Was it merely a stage planned out, pre-designed stage formation, everything? And that meant that everything that Jesus represented was very hollow and very shallow because it was all a pre-designed plan in God. He pre-designed it. Then how could his temptations be true? See, these are things that you just can't explain with your natural mind. So you have to go back to the Bible and get the foundation of the Bible. Again, if Jesus merely recited a well-rehearsed script, his moral experience could not have been genuine and his victory would have been hollow. Some Bible statements indicate that Christ's enemies and executioners and analysis acted in harmony with God's plan. Why was Adam told to replenish the earth? Do you think he was told to replenish animals? You know, Jesus told Rick Joyner, when Rick Joyner asked him about this first world, Jesus said, don't go there. Don't go there. He says, you'll all know eventually. Something happened. It's very obvious. But let's talk about the plan of salvation for a moment. Let's look at some scriptures to talk about it. In Revelation, just write these down, don't turn there. Revelation 13:8, it says, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3 says, the work was finished from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 9:26 says that he would have often have suffered from the foundation of the world. John 17:24 talks about before the foundation of the world. So we've got this issue that we've got to deal with concerning the plan of salvation. In 1 John 3:8 it says, the devil sinned from the beginning, arche, the first rule or authority or dominion of power. What rule was that? I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and let's look at one verse together. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and let's go to verse 10. For he looked, this is Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is one of the reasons why Abraham journeyed in tent form. He lived nomadically. Why? He was looking for the city that he had seen that was promised. His maker had revealed to him a city. And somehow, he was looking for that city. I can't explain why. But I do know that in light of the analogy here, this word for foundations is very interesting. This is the Greek word themelo. Themelo. Whenever that word is used, it means a brand new foundation. One that has never before been laid. And so Abraham was looking for a city whose foundations should have been newly laid. They should have been foundations that were just presently laid. And that word is themelo. But there's a very interesting word for another word for foundations, and it's called katabol. Kata means something that is thrust down, and bowl means something that has been thrown. Or we could say thrown down. And they use this word for foundation, the other term for foundation. It means a foundation that was previously laid, but it was torn down to rebuild another one. How many understand what I'm talking about? That is the word and the only word for foundation that is referred to the plan of salvation every single time. That means that salvation was not planned before any fall. It was planned after a fall. And the fall was not Adam and Eve. The fall was Lucifer. How can you say that? Very, very biblically, soundly, simple. Luke, chapter 10, verse 18. Turn there. Luke 10:18. I'll tell you, some things you cannot explain out, but you can go to your Bible, and when the Bible says it, leave it alone. Don't try to translate it away. Don't try to reason it away. Did you know that operating in the kingdom of God, you cannot operate in the understanding of the kingdom of God with your own carnal mind? Somebody said, aha, yes, you can. It's very limited. Very limited, because your mind can only assist sensual insight. When it goes beyond sensual insight, you leave your mind off. That was very interesting. I was watching the History Channel the other night about the flood of Noah. How many of you watch that? Do you guys ever really concentrate? How many of you watch that? Wasn't it interesting how they said that the flood of Noah was impossible? They gave legitimate facts. They said if there was water that encased the earth, then there had to be no more oxygen. Well, I got to thinking, well, I thought oxygen was in water, you know. That's what I thought. But the way they explained it, they gave, but it was beyond my head. I couldn't figure out scientific thing. But I do know one thing. I do know one thing. If the Bible said it, it happened. That's all I know. But it was very interesting. You know what the program did? The program switched and said that when they went into all these other foreign religions, remember that? They said they found the story of something that was like the flood. They couldn't even prove that there was ever a flood until, I guess, some archaeologists, help me a little bit here, archaeologists went and dug way down deep in this dwelling area looking for something, and they found a layer that would indicate it was, it gave proof that the world was covered by water at one time. And they found the proof. And so along in the show, I can't remember how they said it, they said, well, we just have to go with the Bible. Duh. I didn't need no scientific proof to figure that one out. I just read the Bible and I believed it. Praise God. But look at Luke 10:18. Luke 10:18. Well, let's look at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Now, let me ask you something. When Lucifer approached Adam and Eve in the garden, was he a fallen being? Oh, yeah. So, he was a fallen being. He was not in any right standing with God when he tempted Adam and Eve, believe me. And I do believe that in God's pre-designed plan, that he had Satan in mind by using Adam against him. Because hell, very clearly the Bible says, hell was created for the devil and his bunch, not people. I was just listening to a tape or a CD, Sue and I were, by a man who experienced going to hell. And one thing that I caught on the tape, Sue and I caught on the tape, is in hell, those demon-like creatures hate anything that is crafted after the image of God. And he said, I realize I was a man in hell being tortured. And one of the reasons, he said, I don't ask me how I knew that I knew, but I knew the reason they had such hatred for me is because I represented the image of God that they didn't. And when he brought out how these creatures look in hell, they are not crafted after the image of God. They say one had a long arm and a short arm on the same body frame. They were like animals, distorted animals. And something snapped in me. That's why the dinosaurs, that when we look into them, they're a perversion of that first world. They weren't created. Those animals weren't created by God. Flesh-eating machines. Triceratops rex. What's that all about? Why would God even create a flesh-eating thing like that? Oh, to control flesh? Huh. You know, so nothing would get overpopulated, so he created a little monster, you know? There's no telling what that first world was like, and we're all going to get a preview of it. We're going to see it. We're going to probably be stunned. But I am of the opinion the devil is already a fallen being when he approached Eve. And so when Jesus said, I saw him cast out of heaven as a bolt of lightning, he was talking about dateless past. Now, in Revelation 13:8, the word from foundation in that verse is the word catabole. Hebrews 4:3, the work was finished from the catabole of the world. And Hebrews 9:26, it said that the priest would have to often have suffered from the foundation of the world, that first world that was thrown down or cast down. Now, if this is going over your head, good. Put springs on your shoes, get the tape or the CD, and bounce. And let the words keep hitting your head. But let's show that overhead projector. And this is where I get to use my channel changer. But we'll stay on one station. I drew a little chart here. And many of you can't read it, but if you want to get out pencil, paper, and copy it, you can. Or should I? June? You can make copies. Okay. Genesis 3:16. Would you go up and get yours? Thank you, John. That one don't seem to be working for some reason. Anyway, I drew up this chart, and I want you to get a hold of it. And I know this is going to be hard for those of you who are watching by television, but write in and we'll send you the chart. But the reason I drew this up is it'll get you to understand that, and this is the whole point of this teaching today, it's to get you to understand that God did not pre-design a fall. He did not pre-design for Lucifer and name him Lucifer, light bearer, so that God could see to it that somehow there was a fall that was created, and then all of us learn out of all the hell that we have here on earth, we learn how to serve God. That is idiotic. What is to prevent us when we're going into an eternal state, that not happening again? And so I drew this chart up and I put Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:2. And this is where Lucifer, in his first estate, evidently had a rule of some kind. We all know he was a good angel at one time. We do know that biblically. And so I just put a little time period there, and on that first Lucifer's first estate or rule, he was... How'd that happen? Did that thing work again? Is it working again? I'll use John's. That one's failed me already, so I'll use something that doesn't fail. Thank you anyway. Yeah. Besides, it's more like a straight stick than a channel changer. And I'd sure hate to point it up there and all of a sudden Arnold Schwarzenegger came on there. But anyway, this is Lucifer's first rule. This is in Genesis 1:1. It's in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. And then when you go to Genesis 2, you do see a change in the verse. So go over to Genesis 1, verse 2. Let's go over there and look at that verse. Now, some of our translators and some of our Bible scholars tell us that that these words don't mean what they mean because they're used another way differently. I found that when you want to mess the Word of God up, change the meaning to words in the Scriptures or text. And you get a mess. You get a conglomeration of confusion. But this verse here, verse 2, is a very critical verse right here, Genesis 1:2. This is how critical it is. It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, the word "and" should have been better translated "but." So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but the earth, the word "was" is literally in the Hebrew, "became." But the earth became without tohu and bohu. These are the Hebrew words tohu, in vain, and void, empty ruin. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, we've got all kinds of other scriptures. We don't have time to get into them, especially in the major prophets, minor prophets, that scriptures talk about another judgment that does not even co-sign with Noah's flood. First of all, there were men. Some of these verses say there was no man found. Well, Noah and his family were in the ark. Another one says that the darkness encased the earth. There was light when Adam and Eve were here in the ark. Are you following me? And so a lot of times some of your commentaries say, we don't understand what judgment this is. This doesn't match the judgment of Noah's day with water. It matches something else. More recently in our time period, they have found, in our polar caps, they've found dinosaurs, animals, that have been instantly frozen in time, and the food is still entrenched in the esophagus. Like it lost its life instantly. And they don't know how this happened. It's real funny, listen to scientists, how they explained it. One television program is this big meteor hit the earth with such vehemency that even the dinosaurs and stuff, when they were eating or feeding, they didn't have time to swallow their food. I got news for you. Even if it was a meteor, God sent it. Now, I don't know how that judgment came, but God doesn't. And there's scripture that says God never creates anything in vain. But this verse, the second verse, something happened. Became. And what do you mean when he told Adam and Eve, replenish? Where did this first world come from? How perverted did it get? Because these demons are disembodied spirits. Kenneth Hagin says are disembodied spirits from that first world. Adam and Eve never saw a dinosaur. Why? They were judged with that first world. There were inhabitants in that first world. Why do you think demons are even allowed to roam around? Well, because they're fallen angels. Demons and fallen angels are two different beings according to the Word of God. Fallen angels are principalities. There's a portion of them now chained in this lower compartment of our earth called Tartarus. That is the abode of the angels that had transgressed the seed law. What seed law? Very interesting. Well, I personally believe that they were angels that were sent forth from Lucifer to impregnate the daughters of men for the purpose of keeping that promise of the Redeemer that was to come. And that's when the plan of God was designed. It was from, the plan of salvation was from or before the catabole of this world, not themelo. Thank God for the accuracy of Scripture. Not once will you find the reference of the plan of, and I'm going to say this boldly to who's ever watching. And then within my, I'll say it very boldly. Show me a scripture that says salvation was planned from the brand new foundations of this world, and I will take another look at my source of information. But I haven't been able to find one yet. It's always catabole. Is that a coincidence? Nope. It only takes three scriptures to prove what I'm sharing with you. And I got dozens of them. God never intended for Lucifer to take a nosedive. God never intended for that first world to end up corrupted the way he is. God never intended for the animal kingdom to get that perverted. God created this planet for mankind to inhabit and to live and to be a thriving community of the love of God, which is the very core nature of what God is. And if anybody less than God, they have the ability to pervert God because they are less than God. Now, why would God create anything that could fall? Because God is love, and he can only fellowship with those who have the freedom and desire to fellowship with him. Period. over and out. And if you want to say anything about the weakness of man, it's the fact that you have a right to serve or reject God. That is what makes you a God. Not because you're a Christian. What makes you a God is the fact that you have freedom of choice. And God will never take that from anything He ever creates, including angels, because they too have a will. What God does is He invests His entire being in anything He creates that has a right for freedom. Right. And boy, you know, that is so simple to understand. And yet, because of the attributes of what deity is, it is so hard to understand. That's why you've got to let your head, when it tries to want to figure something out, you're dealing with sensual head knowledge. Get rid of it. Cast it down. Don't even try to figure out. Just know that the Bible says what it says and means what it means, period, over and out, whether you like it or not. Right. Period, over and out. Hebrews 4:3, catable. Hebrews 9:26, catable. 1 John 3:8, catable. Well, I don't know if foundation's in 1 John 3:8. I think it's arche, rule or authority. Which means that Lucifer had a rule or an authority. Or why would he be called Lucifer? Oh, how come people don't say, Lucifer? Why do they say G-O-D damn? Why not Lucifer damn? Well, it would be contrary to words. Because Lucifer means light bringer, light bearer. You know what Jesus was referred to? Bright morning star. I believe Lucifer had a position in the kingdom of the heavens. It's plural, by the way. In the kingdom of the heavens, he had a position that was almost kind of like Jesus, the Son. Not equal, but pretty invested with authority and the covering. He said the anointed cherub that covered. He was a covering. He had an authority. He had a rule. And according to Ezekiel 28, it says he's the one that corrupted it. God didn't pre-plan it. It says he corrupted it. And you know how he corrupted it? His wisdom turned to lust. You know what his pride was? Many. And guess what? If Satan can't get you entrapped over the issue of money and the wealth of it, then he'll get you entrapped in poverty thinking. He'll go one way or the other, just as long as you can't balance yourself out with God. Now, I got all these verses that says before and from. That question was asked me. Well, it doesn't matter whether he's talking about before or from. You have to understand before is referring to this fall and from is referring to this fall. From is the fall of Lucifer. Before is the fall of Adam and Eve. That's all. Is that hard? It's just before or from. It's not hard to figure out that from would be from the first fall and before would be before the second fall. Right here. And as that second fall took place, according to Romans chapter 5, it said all of mankind ended up in the rule of spiritual death. That's why Lucifer could enter into the third heaven and accuse God to his face, Job. Can he do that today? Uh-uh. Not today. Why? Because we got Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. And if Lucifer was to ever enter into the third heaven to bring an accusation against God's children, it says that Jesus sits there and makes intercession for us. The issue, if Satan wanted to make an issue with any of us, he'd have to go to Jesus. And Jesus would then have to turn and say, their righteousness is of me. But they're not doing righteousness. That's a problem you're going to have to solve with them, not me. You know what God's got in the third heaven? You know what God's got in the third heaven, people, today? You know what he's got? He's got trophies that once belonged to the devil. We always talk about the devil having trophies in hell. I got news for you. God's got trophies in heaven that once belonged to the devil. What kind of trophies? Talking about people that were once sinners are now believers. And every single person that is in the third heaven today that have fallen asleep in the Lord is a trophy that was given to our Father. Now, there's a portion of these fallen angels that are still under the command of Satan today. There's going to come a time when they can no longer operate in the heavens. They will be cast to the earth according to Revelations chapter 12, verse 7. That's where tribulation begins. Evidently, according to Revelation chapter 12, the way I read it is that he will lose even his position in the second heaven or the realm and cast to the earth. It says now the inhabitants are going to enter into a tribulation that is worse than ever, because Satan will be living amongst us and tribulation will intensify. Are you following me? But Lucifer, he's in the second heaven right now. He has a domain there. I believe Jesus entered in that place. And there's a minister in India that said that he went there, and he believes that was the same place that Jesus went in the temptation. You know, I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard that. But I know he's in the heavens operating. Not the third heaven. Not the heaven where God abides. He cannot enter that now because of Christ. And I've given you some scriptures you can go look up that would validate what I'm saying. And one of the scriptures that you'll notice is right up here. In Hebrews 9, turn there. Let's turn there right now. Hebrews chapter 9. Are you guys getting something? Your destiny is in your hands, linked with God. Your destiny is not in the devil's hands. Hebrews 9 and chapter 23. Verse 23, I mean. Hebrews 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. There, I like it in the Greek. Therefore, it was necessary, therefore, on one hand, for the examples of the things in the heavens to be cleansed by these, on the other, for the heavenly things themselves by a better sacrifice than these, meaning the blood of animals and goats. He went and took and sacrificed his own blood, which qualified for him to be able to enter into the third heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father. He was raised from hell through the glorification of his human spirit. But he encountered spiritual death in his death because of our sin, but he had none of his own. That's what brought him out. See, Lucifer could judge him for the sins of the world, which was his mistake. because he poured the judgment of God on humanity on the Son. That's why when you say Katrina was brought by God, you're blaspheming, you're spitting in the face of your redemptive rights when you say that, that God is going to use water again to judge people, God is going to use these catastrophes to judge people. You're spitting in the face of the redemptive work of your Lord Jesus Christ, because no man is going to ever be justified by some Katrina. Mankind has been justified in the works of God through Jesus Christ. I got scripture on it. You guys getting this? A lot of you probably are hearing something you ain't heard before. I got news for you. If you don't believe it, lock into it and God will make it come alive in your heart. The world doesn't know how blessed they are in the fact that that God is not their problem. But to a believer that thinks that God is going to turncoat on them because they don't serve Him right, then you're coming against the very nature that God is Himself. You know what? If you go to hell, if you're listening, and you go to hell because you didn't obey His judgment that hit some town that you were in and you didn't obey it, then you, that sinner would have a legitimate right with God. Why would you want me when I didn't want you in the first place and you forced me to want to serve you? No. Jesus, in spite of what people say, Jesus is looking forward to the day that He can purge this earth of those that don't want Him and flourish it with those that do. I heard a minister say he went there, but he's contrary to Scripture. I don't care what he says. It tells me that Jesus cried on his shoulder, doesn't want that day of judgment to come. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus couldn't wait for the Old Testament to pass. He hated judging humanity like he had to do back then. He hated it. But he's going to enjoy the judgments that's going to come. Because it's going to be full of people that didn't want Him, never wanted to turn, and they're just going to make their own fate. If they had an argument with God and they stood before God at the great white throne, you know what they could throw in God's face? Are you ready? What'd you expect out of me? That was my nature. You know what God would have to say? Amen. Things produce after its own kind. So therefore, God would have to exonerate the judgment of sin on humanity for a season to give them the opportunity to receive the life and nature of God so they can overcome sin. So that if you are standing at the great white throne, you ain't going to have an excuse, even though you didn't receive Jesus. You want to know why? Because there was a place you could have gone called the new birth, receiving the life and nature of God to overcome sin with. You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, there's not one verse there that says they're ever going to be judged because of sins. It says their work. That's why when you talk about the parable of the talents, it doesn't belong to a New Testament Christian. We use it to control people with, oh, if you don't do this and you only have one talent, you bury it in the ground, you're going to go to hell. That is talking about judgment during tribulation. That's where that fits in. Your works will indict you just like the great white throne, but not sin. You want to know why? Jesus paid the price for all man's sin, period, over and out, past, present, future, perfect tense. Amen. Somebody said, he's going to go to hell because he sins. No, he's going to go to hell because he chooses to sin. Why do you think sin is an issue with a believer? Because sin can destroy your relationship with the Father. How? You could come into salvation, continue in sin, and turn on God. Well, how do you know that? We have somebody, national minister right now, that has done it. He has? Yeah, I read his little testimony. Saved, blood washed, preaching redemption, on fire for God. Now he just says Christianity is just another way into heaven. There's all kinds of faiths. Universalism. You don't think Jesus is the only way, do you? How can you put God in a box? God didn't put himself in a box. He went worse than that. He put him on such a narrow path that that's the only way you can go. Is that narrow path? Why? Because broad is the way for anyone else to get in there. And Jesus said, if there's any other way through me, then they're a thief and a robber, and they ain't going to make it. Amen? Does this help you a little bit? Now, somebody says, well, you've got the rule of spiritual death. You've got the dominion of spiritual life. Turn over to Romans 5:18 real quick, like. Turn over there. This is scary, but it's true. You're going through what you're going through because you choose to go through it. You're going through what you're going through because you're not exercising your authority as a believer. You're going through what you're going through because you're letting the devil have his way in your life. You're going through what you're going through because Satan has indoctrinated you incorrectly. You're going through what you're going through because the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit in your heart is not working in you. You're listening to men that is misleading you and setting you astray. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. He's the only one that can lead you into the way of truth. I don't care what minister you get under. Well, how do you know you're right? I don't know. I don't know whether I'm right or not. All I'm doing is I'm preaching you the Word of God. And I know one thing. The Word of God is right. If I can't convince somebody to believe the right thing in the Word of God, then I'll just flat leave them with the Word of God. It's the only thing you can do. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, katakrino, sentencing. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And that is the new birth. Just as you were born out of the loins of Adam through that first birth. When you get born again, you get born out of the loins of your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. That's the second birth. Yep. Your first father was the devil. Your second father is the father of the third heaven. God does not teach you by tragedy. You learn by tragedy yourself. And yet I've seen some people too stupid to even learn that way. Why? Because man within himself can't help himself. The only way man can help himself is it's going to take a God to help him. It'll only take a God to help him. Without God, man's lost. But I know one thing. Whether you agree with me or not, I know one thing. One thing I do know. I know the love of my Father. And He wouldn't create somebody like Lucifer so that all of humanity go through the hell they're going through just to glean a few good souls. That's a perversion of the love of my Father. And you never accuse him that way. And when I see ministers acquaint God with a misrepresentation of redemption, as far as I'm concerned, they disqualify themselves in my eyes as a mentor for my life. I don't care how good they sound. When they don't know who their enemy is, I don't want nothing to do with them. And if you think that these people in New Orleans that don't know the right hand for the left hand, just like Job said, that don't know right from wrong, have no concept of it, and yet God's going to go and put His wrath on them. The only way they'd even know that God put that wrath there is some ignoramus minister standing up and saying, God did that to you. Why? To get a sinner to fear another Katrina? You know what they do? They baptize sinners in more hell than what they have. That's all they do. I'll never forget that one black man on television. I'll never forget it. He said, "Why would God do this to me?" God didn't do it to you. There is such a... I asked a friend of mine, "Why is there such a passion in me against this?" He said, "Because that hits the core of what you believe. It hits the core of what we believe. It hits the very core of what we believe." Everybody stand up. No, we'll do it. Won't do communion this morning. Unless you people want to. Little Cordella and Ray, they go to the effort of making it for us. It won't take long. Do you guys feel that we need communion? Maybe some of you accuse God of these judgments. You need to take it. Sit down, people. Ushers, come forward and get the communion elements. We'll stick with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take the tray, pass it on to the person next to you first, then take the elements. I've been seeking the Lord about our church, about our ministry. Been giving me some answers I hadn't seen before. And I'm praying about it, but I think I'll address the church, the Lord willing. I might address the church next Sunday of what our future is as a church, what we plan on doing. But I want to get some more things clear in my understanding. Because we haven't grown as a church, and we as a church, we've gotten away from the power of God. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to share all that with you. God has shown me in glimpses of it. So I got to get some things clarified. John knows what I'm talking about, because I bounced some things off of him. He says he don't have all the answers, but I believe I'm going to have the answers before I address the issue with you. But our ministry is going to be taking on some changes. And it's healthy changes. It's good changes. And I told the Lord, if the ministry can't take on these changes, then I'll change. I'll move on for the sake of the ministry being solid here. But I know that's not going to be the case, right? Yep. Hallelujah. So I'm going to just do a State of the Union thing, address the issue of our church. We're going to do things differently this coming year and refocus some of our values. But you have to have some answers first, and I believe that I have some answers, some good solid ones. And I just got to pray them through. But you want to see us grow, don't you? Amen. It just doesn't seem to be one of the attributes of our ministry right now, and that's going to change. If what I believe is what the Lord's showing me, I believe it'll be a good move and a good change. I think all of us can benefit from it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We have a responsibility as a church. You know, they always say, "Well, Pastor, you have a responsibility." Yes, I do. I have responsibilities, but so do you. All of us have responsibilities together. But there's some things I'm not liking. I'm seeing, not only in our church, but in other churches, I'm seeing some things I don't like in people. The churches have moved away from the power of God. It's disturbing me, because we had ourselves to a certain degree. And we're going to get back there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I can tell you why we've gotten away from the power of God. Because I had to stand on the chopping block. Might mean that my involvement with other ministries might change. I don't know. But I will know before this week's out. Hallelujah. We're going to take communion now. And what is the purpose of communion? This is what we call body washing. This is where we acknowledge where we miss the mark with God, and that the blood, which is an example of His life, cleanses us, reaching back into that new birth and the ability of God to work in the spirit of the new birth that's in our hearts. And so I don't know what your need is that you need to confess before the Lord, where you've been missing the mark. I don't know what that is, but I do know one thing, that His body was broken in type to understand that we can also have a broken and contrite spirit about ourselves and repent of whatever it is that we need to repent of, and then acknowledge that the blood or the life of Christ will cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Amen. So let's get ready to take the bread. Father, in the night in which You was betrayed, You took bread and You broke it, thus signifying the body of Christ being broken for a season. And we know that the body is always broken because of sin. Jesus' body was the first to be broken because of sin. Thank God His bones were not broken, because that's where the life comes from. But His flesh was broken, torn and ripped to shreds. And His blood was shed, Father, poured out as a sample that it is that life that cleanses us. Oh, Father, that we would get a revelation of the life of Christ in us. That is the only hope of Your glory in us. So as Your people take communion today, Father, and recognize the reason that Christ's body was broken, that we could remain intact and united as one. And that if there's anything that would break us off from the body, we would cleanse that through the blood of Christ. So on the night He was betrayed, He took bread and said, "Take, eat. This do in remembrance of Him." Go ahead and take, eat. And the same night also He took the blood, the cup, which is a type of His blood. Life is in the blood. He said, "And take and drink." In remembrance of Me. Okay, ushers. Hallelujah. Pass your cups to the center aisle. Hallelujah. It's very interesting about blood, isn't it? Very interesting. Somehow blood is the element that fosters the spiritual man. Isn't that amazing? The blood somehow has the growth in it for spiritual being. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you guys get something here this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Lord willing, next Sunday morning I'll share about the church and the direction we're going to go. Hallelujah. Young people, you need to hear it too, as well as the older. Praise God. Everybody stand up. We're going to close. Thank you so much, Cordell and Ray, for your efforts. On communion. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now conclude this service, I pray that if there are anybody that is here that have never received Jesus as their personal Redeemer, then Father, we want to be the ones that would lead them into the very presence of the kingdom of God. Now, Father, if they've taken communion, they've restored their fellowship with you. But if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you as well, for salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you took communion, you should have restored your fellowship with Him. So we're not going to do an altar call on that, but we are going to do it for salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anything else beyond that, the communion table provides for you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, don't you feel ashamed, but would you step out from your pulpit, wherever you're at, if you know God's tugging on your heart today, and come forward, and we would love to have our altar ministers minister with you. And you don't need to feel ashamed about it. Anybody? Anybody? We'll wait just a few more minutes. Anybody? Okay, Father, I thank you for these wonderful people, and Father, I poured my heart out this morning to try my best to clarify an understanding that my Jesus is not going to die in vain within the ears of anyone that surrounds me. For Father, you poured your wrath out against sin on your Son. And Father, you swore in Genesis 8 you'd never destroy mankind again with water. So those that say you did are liars. Convict them in their heart, for they touch our redemptive rights. Not just the Christian's redemptive rights, Father, but the rights of every unbeliever on planet Earth. We're fed up with it. We'll shout out against that kind of tongue till we go home and be with you. And if you're in agreement, say amen. You're dismissed.